was deposited on the flight deck, this flight deck, right where Keen was standing now. Time, age, life, everything seemed to evaporate. He was youthful again, his wife alive, his daughter just a baby, the future long and deep and rich. Where had it gone? Keen wondered. Not just a lifetime, but that powerful, uplifting sense of unity he had felt with every man on board this very ship. Slowly, reluctantly, the Groton, Connecticut resident returned to the present. The landscape of the intervening years returned. Here and now, the choppers he heard were regular traffic along the Hudson River. The voices were not fellow seamen, but tourists. The flight deck, well, it was not rolling and pitching and slippery with the sea, but anchored emphatically in a river that seemed better suited to pleasure boats and water taxis than to an 872-foot-long, 27,100-ton juggernaut. His sagging shirt pocket chirped. Keen fished out his cell phone, held it at arm's length so he could read the message. It was a text from his daughter. "You doing okay?" He thumbed the microphone icon. He spoke in a quiet voice, mindful that there were others around him enjoying their own thoughts and emotions. He said softly, "Fine. Be there in a minute. Love, Pop." Susan, her husband Jason, and their youngest daughter Lisa were waiting for him in the space shuttle pavilion. He had wanted to rekindle his personal connection with history before enriching it. Keen poked send, then, proud of his sudden inspiration, used the phone to take a picture of his feet on the deck. That was something he would want to look at again when he was back in his home, on his terrace overlooking the Long Island Sound. This vessel had taught him discipline, which added to his inborn love of the sea, served him well in his career as a boatyard worker, operating hydraulic trailers, lifts, learning maintenance, and finally, managing a marina. "Well," he thought with an inner sigh, "every man on board that day made his own journey. I thank God for the many joys in mine, and..." Ernie Keen did not get to finish his thought. It was cut short by a very loud and very powerful explosion not far behind him. The operation had been worked out with military precision by a military officer. The plan conceived by Captain Ahmed Salehi and Dr. Hafiz Akif of the Professor Abdus Salam Center for Physics in Islamabad, Pakistan, had been personally approved by Salehi's sponsor, the powerful prosecutor Ali Younesi of the Special Court in Tehran. The plan had been operational for 5 days since they had traveled from Washington, D.C. to New York. Iran shared diplomatic space with the embassy of their fellow nation. Under Islamabad's protecting power, Iran enjoyed the same privileges as any foreign representative in America, despite the fact that formal relations between Washington and Tehran did not exist. A reciprocal arrangement existed between the United States and Iran via the U.S. interest section of the Swiss embassy in Tehran. With the patience of a veteran seaman, Salehi had waited for exactly the right atmospheric conditions. Mist rolling in from the harbor, lingering over the Hudson River, enough to dampen the air, but not the plans of tourists. The meteorological records of the Atmospheric Science Department at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, were most thorough and helpful when it came to pinpointing humidity in specific regions of Manhattan and its environs. Dr. Akif had personally approved the conditions from the foot of 46th Street and 12th Avenue, right on the river. Salehi was a fearless 61-year-old former officer with the Navy of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard of Iran. Since retiring from active service, he had sailed the Middle Eastern, Asian, and South American seas, delivering and acquiring black market weapons for Tehran. Less than a month before, his efforts to obtain nuclear missiles for the state had been thwarted by American commandos off the coast of Russia. Their lawless action had also cost the officer his ship, the cargo